Sex trafficking is one of the topics which people in America think happens only in foreign countries or maybe as a story idea for a TV show or a film. The truth is that sex trafficking is called a worldwide problem for the easy reason. It's perpetrated in many countries, right, including America. And that's one of the reasons why back in 2013, by the way, New Jersey adopted human trafficking laws, which have been called by many the most comprehensive in the nation. My next guest is here to explain how this crime against humanity is committed, its long-lasting effects on the victims, and what can be done to defeat it. She is the founder and CEO of Paving the Way, as well as the writer and producer of the award-winning film Trapped in the Tray, Jan Edwards. Thanks for being here today, Jan.
Chris, thank you so much for having me on your show and allowing me to share this important and vital information.
And a couple of websites. Of course, we have the links over to our website, pavingtheway.co, and to learn more about Trapped in the Tray, trappedfilm.com. As I mentioned, Jan, back in 2013, New Jersey implemented what many are calling pretty detailed and strong laws against sex trafficking to the point where a organization which measures states on tier levels moved New Jersey up from a second tier to a first tier state, one of the few. And strangely enough, it was wrapped around the fact that New Jersey was hosting the Super Bowl that year, and an event like that gave cause for concern for a rise in sex trafficking. As, like I said in the intro, a lot of people don't see that picture domestically here in the States, do they?
No, they really don't. Most people think it's an over-there issue. And according to Homeland Security, over 300,000 children a year are lured into this lifestyle. And if you talk to any police officer on the street or any officer that's even slightly involved in ending this crime, they'll tell you that's an incredibly low number.
And that's one of the issues
is, you know, getting data on that's why they call it a silent crime, because there's so much shame and embarrassment and fear associated with it. People don't really talk about it.
It's almost if you're combining rape, kidnapping, and hostage situation all into one person.
Yes, that's exactly it, Chris. That's exactly it. And it's, you know, the average age is 12.
I was actually reading, too, where young girls are pumped with hormones to make them more more active and, quote-unquote, attractive to the perverts.
Uh-huh. Yep, exactly. And, you know, a lot of this has to do with pornography and pedophilia. The pornography industry is responsible for a lot of this. There's a lot of money in that business online. And, you know, pedophilia, most pedophiles, go after the age in which they were violated. A lot of pedophiles, not all, but a high percentage of them were abused as children or raped as a child. And so it's like their emotional growth is stunted at that point in time. And as they get older, they have those urges, and it's that age that they actually are attracted to. And it's really a psychosexual disorder. Because I didn't get it. You know, I have a hard time wrapping my head around it. And I sat down and spoke with someone at the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, and he's like, Jan, he goes, it's a disease. He goes, it's still one of those, you know, much like how alcoholism was mystified until we started really doing some great scientific research on that, you know, alcoholism really is a disease. It affects parts of your brain. They're really just now starting to do very similar research on pedophilia because it is so prevalent.
How are these kids forced into this situation? Is it the obvious going after the kids who are the lost children, quote unquote? Is it enticement through deception? What are some of the ways that these demons perpetrate all this?
So the thing about trafficking is there is no socioeconomic, geographic, or demographic boundary. They'll go after just about anyone. And they do look for the lost, the lonely, and the rebellious, right? That's just what's right there. And before I go any farther, how parents can prevent this is to spend time with their children, to really spend quality time with their children, getting to know their children. Because the teenage years are there's a lot of things happening inside a human's body during that period of time. And so what might be perceived as a normal teenage change, like going from outgoing and happy and loving to withdrawn and secretive and, you know, shutting and locking my door, You see it in movies all over the place. That's supposedly, quote-unquote, typical teenage behavior. However, if you really spend time with your child and you really know who their friends are, what they love to do, all of that, you will be the first person that notices a not normal change. So some of the tactics that recruiters use is they establish trust and rapport very quickly. They want to be your best friend right now. They want to date you and date you exclusively right now. Like, there's no shot for anybody else. They profess love and devotion. You know, the movies so play into this of, you know, the starry eyes and you're the only one. And it has us believe that that's what love really is. And it can be. Not saying it can't be. However, after one date, someone proposes to marry you. Hang on a second.
Yeah.
Hang on a minute, you know. And the other is, you know, they promise a quote-unquote, better future, better job, better something, you know. And there's actually recruiters that will go into malls and they'll see a, you know, beautiful young girl with, you know, done her makeup, you know, nicely. And they'll go, wow, you know, your makeup looks so beautiful. Have you ever thought about being a makeup artist before? And, you know, we're hiring and it sounds amazing. And there's even a organization that went so far as to got office space and had girls come interview at the office.
Wow.
You know, and fill out an application. And this one little girl, you know, went through the whole process. And of course, they made them wait for 2 weeks. I mean, this was planned and calculated. They, you know, the parents dropped this little girl off at, you know, the place that they were told to drop her off, all excited about some future for their daughter. And the moment she walked in that door, they took away her cell phone, they took away her ID, and she was trapped for 2 years.
Wow.
So if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is.
However, when you're doing that too good to be true on an emotional scale versus something, you know, come around this corner, I've got a gold-plated Rolls Royce for you. There's a, you know, a big difference. It's easy to emotionally convince someone of damn near anything.
Mm-hmm. It really is. And, you know, the other thing, too, that's a big red flag for children is, okay, we've got to keep this relationship secret. Don't tell anybody about this. This is our little secret. You know, kind of has that, you know, illusion of being slightly dangerous. And then what happens is the child, when they're, you know, in the home, they don't answer questions like they used to. They don't talk and share about what their life used to be of. Or they might, you know, the parent might see the child in a relationship with a visibly older adult. They're 13 and their boyfriend's 18. It's like, you know, you just got to check into it. I'm not saying every relationship's going down that path, but you just want to be diligent and you want to be aware. And watching, you know, their self-esteem plummet because they're, you know, really parts of their soul are being taken away from them. They're being violated multiple times every night and then go home and then go to school the next day. So there's things you can actually, there's recruiting tactics to be pay attention to, and then there's signs on the backside to go, you know, just really be over there. I did a telesummit in October called the International Freedom Fighters Telesummit, and I interviewed 16 experts around the world, every single one of them. You know, they were very clear about what to do to prevent it. And almost all of them said, look, you want to keep your kids safe? Spend time with them. Those 2 extra hours you might be working, don't do that. You know?
Yeah.
Promise to be home Tuesday and Thursdays for dinner. Don't turn on the TV. Play board games. Like, really be with your kids so you create that safe space. So if anything like that horrifically happens, they know they can go right to their parents. Every trafficking victim I've spoken to said, I should have told my parents. The moment that thing happened, I should have said something to my parents.
Along with Jan Edwards, who is the founder and CEO of Paving the Way. She's also the writer and producer of the film Trapped in the Trade, pavingtheway.co, trappedfilm.com, or the respective websites, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. The internet must be one major recruitment tool for the traffickers,
mm-hmm.
and we have so many parents who say, well, I don't want to trample on my son or daughter's privacy. And when I hear someone say that, I verbally correct them by saying, well, odds are you bought that tablet, that smartphone, that desktop, whatever the case may be. It kind of gives you the right to look just on that sake alone, never mind common sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it's interesting that you say that because I spoke at a Rotary Club yesterday morning because this is National Trafficking Awareness Month, and a lot of Rotarian districts are taking this on as their cause. And one of the members brought her daughter because her daughter, who was young, right, you know, fifth, sixth grade, was stalked over the holidays on Facebook. And it was, you know, it was a message request. She accepted it. And it was like, hey, you know, I see you're interested in, you know, soccer. Me too. What school do you go to? And it was like, well, what school do you go to? And there was not a response back. It was, well, what school do you go to? You know, so it's they prey on the lost and the lonely and the rebellious. And so all it takes is that one little thing for a teenager or preteen to share online, because we vent, a lot of people vent online on Facebook and, you know, and Tumblr and Instagram. And, you know, my dad didn't go to my, you know, championship basketball game, or, you know, my mom picked me up late again. All it takes is that one little comment and someone to start to go, wow, how often is your mom late? How often is your dad done that? How about your brothers? How about, you know, and they start to drive this wedge between the child and their friends and their family, so that they become their sole person, their sole time they spend with, their, you know, they go to them for everything, and they really start to build that trust and plant those little seeds of, well, you know, your parents probably really love your little sister more. Well, you know, your dad probably just, you know, he just doesn't really care. All he cares about is work. And the media feeds into all those kinds of conversations. You watch there's all kinds of TV shows on there that show highly dysfunctional families. And so you start to think that's normal.
Or at least possible.
And exactly. Exactly. And, you know, I'm one of the things I share with people that just, it frightens me, and why I'm just so passionate about having this information be shared with as many people as possible is, I showed the film at a community college here, and one of the little girls, you know, as I was sharing this, she raised her hand and she said, you know, not everybody's lured into this lifestyle. I said, I understand that. I said, some people think they choose it. And after I talked, she said, you know, can we talk for a few minutes? I said, sure. And she was pregnant. And so we went in the little cafe and I brought a little sandwich and we're talking. And she said, you know, she acknowledged me. She's like, thank you so much for, you know, doing the film and sharing this. And she said, I just recently left that life. And I go, I got it. And I said, how did this come about? Well, she was from another country, didn't have her green card or visa, and wanted to earn money. So she started stripping at 16 and didn't choose to leave until her pimp held a gun to her head. And I looked at her and I just, you know, I was just really being with her. There's no judgment because I there's no judging another human being when you're, you know, if you haven't walked in their shoes. And I said, well, what did your friends say? And she said, oh, my friends loved watching me roll up in my pimp's Mercedes. I was like, oh, okay. My friends wouldn't think that. But, you know, getting how desensitized our children are to that. And she said one of her friends actually said, they were giving all the other girls a bad time. They said, you know, you should, you know, earn money like so-and-so does. And it's like, what? You know, to know that there are 15, 16, 17-year-old boys out there that think that's okay, that's what's frightening to me. And that's why, you know, really creating a great relationship with your children and teaching them moral values, and that what's on TV and what's on YouTube and what's on, you know, Instagram isn't always necessarily real and or good for us.
And as I mentioned in the introduction, New Jersey instituted the Human Trafficking Prevention, Protection, and Treatment Act back in 2013, which basically makes it very costly to the perpetrators of human trafficking, but the part of that equation is they have to be found and prosecuted first. So certainly law enforcement needs to have all the tools that they have in need of to make sure that those perpetrators are brought to justice and dole up that money, because all that money goes into programs that will help the victims make their escape and return to as much of a normal life as possible. You can safely imagine that the impact and the aftermath for these victims is traumatic, and that's probably an understatement. but through the work of lawmakers who are finally catching on to the fact that this is not just a, when we say worldwide problem, the world out there, but the world here as well. And what Jan does with Paving the Way and the film Trapped in the Trade, it does bring the proper necessary attention and gives a voice to those who are being held captive as we speak all throughout the country. And the official number is the tens of thousands, but as Jan also said, that many suffer in silence. You can firmly believe that the victim number is in the hundreds of thousands just in America alone, never mind the millions around the world. Learn more about this issue and become involved and spread this information too by going to pavingtheway.co and find out more about Trapped in the Trade, trappedfilm.com. She is the founder, CEO of Paving the Way, writer and producer of Trapped in the Trade, Jan Edwards. Jan, thanks so much for stepping forward and putting the proper light, because only way to make the roaches scatter is by putting a light on them. And your light, I hope, will be the first of many strong ones. Thanks for doing that, for being
here
today.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much, Chris. Have a great day.